Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, what up, it's Meghan Trainor.
Yo, this is Justin Bieber.
Hey, it's Ariana Grande.
Just the Interviews, a Zach Sang Show exclusive podcast.
Yo, beautiful human, we're hanging out with you. If you hear banging, it's because my neighbor is doing construction in the middle of a pandemic. Cool, bro, cool. Benny is going to be hanging out with us at any moment. Also, Dan Zolot is here.
Hello, everyone.
What is that smirk?
I don't know. I feel so awkward saying hello to a computer screen.
Why? That's the now, man. That's also the future. And it was the past.
Hey, everyone. Hi.
Hello, Ricky. I mean,
there you go.
Hi.
Get away from me.
Yeah, please. Please. Before we talk to Benny, I got to tell you that today's conversation is sponsored by Total Wireless. Total Wireless, total confidence. There's never been a better time to make the move.
Zach Sang Show.
Hi.
Hello.
Wow. Benny's here in the digital flesh. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm not going to lie. I'm bugging out right now because my computer says that it's 3:00, right? But my phone says that it's 1:41.
What's the time?
It's 3:00.
Oh.
What's going on with the world?
Like, what's going on?
What time is it for you right now? Because you're in New Zealand, right?
Yes, it's 10 a.m.
Oh, good morning.
You're up early, huh?
Morning. Not too bad. It's actually, 10 is fine. I'm not really an early bird, but 10 is actually like, if I'm complaining about 10, I'm like, okay, Stella, come on. What am I doing?
Yeah, 10 is like not really morning, but it's also not lunch. It's right there in the middle.
No, yeah. Yeah.
I love your hair, by the way. It's awesome.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You guys are in my wardrobe, so that's kind of weird, but there we go.
Oh, this is your closet?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just in my room, but yeah, it is kind of my closet.
Okay, look at that color coordination back there. That's incredible.
I posted a photo and it was in the background, and I had all these people coming at me being like, dude, you really need to like organize that. And so like third day of isolation, I was like, you know what? I have nothing better to do, so I might as well just do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, quarantine and social media pressure led to you organizing your closet.
I have nowhere to hide.
By the way, we have a lot to talk about here. Stella and Steve, Fire on Mars, obviously a hit single. Like what the f*** is good? One, like, who do you live with? Do you live alone?
No, I live with my mom and my dad and my brother still.
Obviously, you've been on this journey for a minute, like... 2017, you start your whole musical journey with Tough Guy, but this is a new level of success. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, oh, definitely. Yeah, this has been crazy recently. I don't even know what's happening. I'm just like floating around. Like, I'm just here, and the song is kind of doing its own thing. But insane. Different, very different for me.
What is the biggest difference between Tough Guy and a song like Super Lonely?
I would say I made Tough Guy 2017, and I think that was like probably the first song that I wrote that I like really kind of liked and thought, this is my sound. So I think that for me was kind of the start of my little kind of, you know, musical like journey of what I wanted to make and stuff. But I would say like the music that I was listening to then was more like R&B and stuff, and I think I've changed so much in the last few years, and it's just like, it's like a baby. It's like a little baby of mine. And now the songs are like, the songs that I make, I feel like I put them out and they're already like teenagers.
I understand that.
Yeah, kind of.
But like the sound as a whole has really changed because, correct me if I'm wrong, like lighter, a little bit more vibrant. But obviously you're telling different stories. So
yeah,
Fire on Mars. You released two EPs within 5 months of each other, which I thought was really unique. What story are you telling with Fire on Mars?
I mean, I think Fire on Mars was when I kind of started to really experiment with my songwriting, and I wasn't so kind of afraid to like write about a crazy dream I had with Afterlife and kind of, I don't know, I think I dove into kind of weirder song ideas, and I kind of started getting into a relationship, and I feel like I kind of matured a bit, comparing that to like Tough Guy, where I was just writing about teenage boys who I didn't like. I think obviously I kind of, you know, experienced a lot more in that kind of, in that time of coming out of high school, which is, I don't know, what do you call that in the States again? No. Just high school?
Yeah, high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. High school and then going into like the kind of college time period. And I feel like that's when you're kind of free and you're kind of, you know, you're out there in the wild. And it's like, I don't know, that's when I was kind of writing about random.
Yeah, but those lyrics on Tough Guy, trying to wind me up like that, hoping that I'll crawl right back, kind of funny how you just assume that my life still revolves around you. Those are very aware thoughts.
Yeah.
For somebody young, but also like, you know, detailed thoughts on a relationship of two young human beings.
Yeah, I mean, like in Tough Guy, I was writing about like a group of dudes who I didn't really like, who were all kind of like, you know, the kind of tough dudes who were like, you know, and they were mean to every chick that they came across, and they had these kind of tough facades, and I was kind of just like, when you look at them in like, I don't know, like a party situation, and they're all like drunk and they're like throwing themselves around, they're all sloppy, you're kind of just like, this is just like a human who's actually like, you know, they've got emotions and they're just covering them up. And I think that was like, in Tough Guy, it was kind of me realizing that like, yeah, these boys ain't.
But Fire on Mars is more you talked about death and your dreams. So would you say that was an EP that kind of solely revolved around what goes on in your head as opposed to things that were going on in the world around you?
Yeah, I would say definitely. I mean, like, I pulled from dreams and Soaked was like a conversation I had, and Glitter was kind of me at a party. But I mean, I definitely think that it was changing there because it was more what I was actually kind of experiencing myself.
So then why 5 months later do you have to release Stella and Steve?
So Fire on Mars, I feel like although the EPs weren't released like that far apart, the songs that I wrote in Fire on Mars were a lot older. And I think that with Stella and Steve, what I really loved about it was that I made a song like maybe 4 months before the release and it came out, and like I feel like I don't get to do that because it's like usually it's like you have a song and like you sit on it for I've been sitting on like two songs for like 2 years right now that maybe will come out in an album this year. But I feel like with Stella and Steve, it was like I wrote Super Lonely and I wrote Blue, and they came out like straight away, and I was like, wow, like this is like, it felt very fresh to me and it felt very kind of like current, and it was like, this is exactly me right now. And I felt like that was kind of cool to just put it out then.
By the way, like I talk to more musicians than I probably talk to anybody else ever, and everybody wants that, you know, everybody wants to live this life where like you can live, you can write, you can release, and it becomes a cycle that is relevant to the moment, you know?
Definitely, yeah, totally. I mean, yeah, I think this kind of constant flow of music is what I am really kind of, you know, interested in continuing, is that I love when someone I love is releasing music all the time. It's like drop a song, drop it. That's why I think I like the idea of EPs, because you can kind of, I feel like there's less pressure and you can kind of just like pop it out there in little chunks, and I feel like people kind of like that.
It's like chapters, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's like a little series that you just kind of, you know, you keep getting.
So, which is nice. You have two songs left in the backlog of songs that you got to put out there?
There are more than that. But, like, these, I do have, like, a few that are very old. And, like, I don't know, even, like, with Stella and Steve, I was sitting on Fine and Island for ages, and I had kind of, like, half finished it. And I was, like, sometimes I kind of give up. I give up hope, and I'm like, damn it, like, I really haven't, like, found, you know, the verse that I want to put in there to make it perfect. But then I picked it up when we were like, okay, we're going to make an EP. And I was like, shoot, like, okay, I'm going to try this again. And my producer kind of, you know, reworked some stuff. And I don't know, I feel like it's kind of annoying when you have like a really old song, but it can also be kind of cool because you add like a different kind of light to it that you didn't have previously.
Totally. All right, when you say producer, are you talking about Josh Fountain?
I am talking about Josh Fountain, the wizard.
He's kind of like the only consistent throughout most of your record.
We've made every song together of mine.
Is he in New Zealand?
Yeah, he is. He is in New Zealand. But yeah, I mean, I've been with him since I first started to record music. But I think now it's kind of like what we have is working very well. And we've got this kind of cool relationship where we're very comfortable around each other. And I think that's something that I like to have when I'm writing. Cause I kind of can be weird about talking about stuff I don't want to talk about to everyone. Yeah. And I feel like, yeah, I think we've kind of built this relationship where it's very much a kind of very comfortable space for me. And that's where my ideas kind of flow the best, I think.
Well, yeah. Like trust matters, and it's weird to get to know somebody every time you walk into a recording studio.
I know. And I feel like, I mean, I went on a trip to LA last year in April, and that's where I wrote Super Lonely and Blue and a bunch of my other songs that I haven't released. And I was kind of being put into the studio with, you know, people I hadn't met before. And I was like, shoot. And in some cases it worked really well, but I was like, damn, like, it's crazy how some people like will only do that, will only work with producers they've never met before and writers that they've never met before, and they'll, you know, write the songs for them. It's crazy to me, but it's also kind of cool. I had only just experienced that.
Well, Josh Fountain is still a part of it though, right?
Yeah. I mean, he came with me, and even in some of the sessions he just like sat in, but I think I need to like kind of be weaned off like needing that. But yeah. Yeah, he was there.
Zach Sang Show.
I got to tell you about Arizona State University. If you're thinking about going back to school once this is all over, Arizona State University really could be the school for you. But you should ask yourself the following question. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits that you want to transfer with you? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of those questions, Arizona State University really could be the school for you. Arizona State University is offering over 200 highly ranked degree programs, 100% online. You can do it 100% on your schedule. You're going to be taking classes that you would take on campus from your home, the same place where we do everything else now. So great.
Zach Sang Show.
What kind of headspace were you in when you go into the session to create Super Lonely? Because obviously it's a camp situation. Yeah. Or did you like did you go in blank slate?
I think that whole trip was kind of a weird timing for me, I think, because I kind of went into it very sad, to be honest, because I had just been through a breakup.
Were you super lonely?
I was bloody lonely, man. I was like I was a little bit kind of like hating the world, and I was like, everything is bad. I was in my little sad girl phase. I'm not anymore, but I kind of got there, and it was very weird for me because I didn't really want to write a happy song, and all the producers were really nice, and I was like, damn it, like, I'm just gonna kill everyone's mood. And I don't know, but I mean, I got in there and first of all, it was just starting fresh with like no ideas. I kind of went in there like a blank kind of canvas and stuff for every session, which was cool. It was weird, but it was challenging, but I think I kind of learned a lot from it and kind of, I don't know, putting yourself into uncomfortable situations, I feel like you can kind of get really cool stuff out of it.
But also being in that emotional headspace, you know, you were looking to express or to get something out.
That whole trip was like a big old venting session, and everyone who I worked with was really good about talking like about every musician that I worked with was just like, yes. And I feel like they've all like, they could be like love, I don't know, like love gurus or like the relationship bloody counselor. I don't know. Yeah, it was cool.
No, but it's the truth. I mean, think about it. They hear about a lot of relationships and a lot of love.
They would. They definitely, 100%.
So if you're so sad and lonely, how does the song get so upbeat.
I know. I mean, it was the first session that I did on the trip. And then I wrote my song Blue on the second day, which is a completely different kind of vibe. It's very sad. But I mean, with Super Lonely, I got into the session and I was like, okay, you know, I can be super depressiato about this all. And I can be like, you know, a sad, lonely person, or I can be like, I'm going to poke fun at myself for this because I am sad and lonely. And I feel like that's kind of how sometimes I deal with my kind of sadder emotions. I'm kind of like, ah, oh, shut up. Like, what the heck? Like, don't freaking cry over this stupid stuff. And I think, I don't know. Yeah, I wanted to be, I mean, I say I wanted to be really super self-deprecating with it because I feel like, no, I feel like I knew that I could write a really sad breakup song, but I kind of wanted to add a little twist and be like, be mean to myself because it, for some reason it made me feel kind of good doing that.
The lyrics tell one story. The production moves in a different direction, but at the end of the day, dude, the song flows and it complements one another. It's a sad song that you can dance to.
I mean, that was Josh producing that song. And I worked with a writer called Jenna Andrews.
She's great.
And that was like, she's awesome. She's and I think deal. That she's, I mean, she's a friend of mine and like, I love her. And that was the first time I worked with her, but I'd met her before that. And I had never kind of like properly worked with like a songwriter. Cause I write my lyrics and it was kind of like a matter of like, I don't know. I kind of got in there and I was like, this is so strange. And she was kind of telling me about like what it's like for some people who go onto sessions and there's like two writers in there and they'll just the artist will tell them what they're kind of going through and then they'll write the song for them and they'll kind of just, the artist will be there. And I was like, what? Like there's this whole world that I have no idea about, but I think what kind of worked with her really well was that like we obviously knew each other and she was like, I know that you like to write your songs. But we started the session off with just like a massive conversation about exactly, you know, what was happening. And I was like, this is real talk. And she was like, oh my gosh, like I feel you. And she was like, okay, like what kind of a vibe should we do? And I was like, I reckon I want to make like a happy song because I know the rest is, it's going to go downhill as like the month kind of, you know, progresses. And, yeah, I don't know. But then we made a happy song.
Super Lonely is a happy song or does it just sound happy?
It actually just sounds happy. Yeah, it's not actually a happy song, but it kind of is. I think Josh did a really good job at making it seem like it was a happy song, but it's, yeah, I mean, it's not actually a happy song. I wasn't happy when I wrote it.
Yeah. So the line, lonely, where'd that come from?
A lot of what I do, like, when I'm making songs is kind of, with Josh, I'll kind of just get into the booth and just freestyle a bunch of stuff, and that usually happens with, I'll have lyrics and I'll go in and just kind of, like, try out different melody ideas by freestyling, and I think that, like, with the stuff, like, I kind of, especially for the ad-libby stuff, I will kind of just go in there and it'll just be like whatever comes out is kind of just what happens. And I think that in this case, I was kind of like, all right, we're going to get super weird with this. And I kind of just, we did like a bunch of takes of just me ming and ahing and screaming into the mic. And then for some reason, they made it into the song. But I mean, it kind of worked.
So. Those laughs though?
Yeah, there's some weird laughs.
What do you learn from that session that changes how you write a song moving forward?
It was definitely like, I don't know, I had never kind of made a song like that before. It had always kind of been like, all right, I'm sad, I'm going to write a really sad song. But I mean, I think like now it's kind of shown me that I can kind of, I think it reminded me that I can literally do anything when I get into a studio. Like you can write a song about anything, but it doesn't have to be like a certain way. And I think that the whole thing of like experimenting and kind of playing around with ideas is something that I really kind of just, I let loose and I didn't really care at the time. Like we had like, what was it? One of the, like the original line was guess I'm a because you guys call like toilet sometimes. Yeah. And I was sitting there and we were like sitting there and we're like, this is ridiculous. Like, that actually is a real bad lyric. And we were like, but like, it doesn't actually matter because it's kind of funny. And then I was like, actually, maybe I should make a guess I'm a quitter. And I don't know. I feel like we were kind of very much like in the moment, just like, okay, like we're having fun. this may be a terrible song, but like, I don't know. And I, yeah, it was awesome. And it was probably like the fun process.
It could be a terrible song in the moment. When do you realize that it's not a terrible song, but it's also going to be the biggest song you've put out so far?
I mean, I don't even know, man. Like, I feel like with any music I make, like I've slowly kind of like gotten into this kind of thing where I show less and less people as I've kind of gone on, because sometimes you can like, you can play, you know, your best friend a song and they'll be like, oh, like, I don't really know about it. And then you're like, damn it. Like, that was my favorite one. And then, or you play it to like some other people and they're like, nah, but I mean, you know, a lot of people don't like a lot of music and a lot of people love a lot of, I mean, everyone likes different stuff. And I think that music is kind of, it works like that. And I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I guess you don't really even know, but you just kind of release it and I think as long as you like it and you're happy with it and it's like honest, I think that I just release it and it just has its own little life. And if people hate it, it doesn't matter because I like it. It was so cheesy.
And that's all that matters.
Yeah. Well, literally, if you hate music and you release it, that'd just be the worst, like the worst. Like, I don't even want to. It would suck. Yeah, I mean, as long as you like it, I think, just
by
release
the way,
it.
That has happened before.
100%. I mean, a lot of people don't like a lot of the music that's out, but...
No, like, people have released music themselves that they didn't like because the label told them to.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine that would be the case for a lot of people.
Did you play Super Lonely for anybody, and did anybody give you negative feedback?
I don't think I played it to any of my friends. See, this is what I don't do now, is, like, I'll play it to my mom. I'll play it to Dan from Republic, my A&R guy. I think it's particular people, because I think that the people that I play it to, I know that they, you know, they like a lot of different music, and I kind of, you know, respect that they kind of, I don't know, I feel like they have like very good kind of taste in a lot of different kind of stuff, and and they're open to different sounds. And I think that sometimes if you play it to, you know, I play it to my closest mate and they have really good taste in music, but they also hate pop. So it's like, that's when it kind of doesn't work. It's like, sometimes they'll be like, oh, it's a bit too poppy. And I'm like, well, I kind of make pop music. Like, I make indie pop, like, it's a deal. But I mean, yeah, I think just like playing it to less people is something that I've done. Because sometimes it just doesn't, it's just not productive.
Did you pick the song as a single, or did TikTok pick it for you?
TikTok picked it. I would have wanted it to be a single, but no, it wasn't a single. TikTok picked it for me. Thank you, TikTok. TikTok has, done everything for that song, which is crazy.
At what point did you
write? Really famous people doing the TikToks too.
I know. Dude, there were like YouTubers that I used to watch when I was like 12 doing the dance, so it's pretty insane. But
I watched it with J-Lo and A-Rod. Like, do you know what I mean? Because there's so just so many.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is wild.
Do you show that to your friends?
They sent it to me. So, there we go.
Got him. Sorry, Dan.
I was going to say, at what point do you realize it's blowing up and like, this song's going to be a hit and this song's working?
I mean, it's been quite weird because I feel like I've kind of been in like isolation for like the majority of the time that the song has been kind of going, you know, going off on TikTok. So it's just been like me at home with my phone and people just sending me this like constant flow of like people dancing to my song. And it's like, crap. And I have a little brother, and he kind of gave me like the inside scoop on the TikTok because I kind of didn't really understand it. And he was like, so these are like the big TikTokers. And it was like this chick called like Charlie D'Amelio, maybe?
Yeah.
I think that's right. And he was like, yeah, she's like, you know, she's like the main chick. And I was like, okay, sick. And then someone sent me a video of her doing the dance. And I was like, oh, crap. Like, what does this mean for Super Lonely? And I think that's kind of, it's kind of when that stuff happened that I kind of realized.
Did your parents have any doubt when you dropped out of college?
Nah, not really. I mean, I think I really wanted to go into college, and I think that they knew that, you know, I wasn't like a dropout who was going to do nothing. I mean, that would probably concern them. But I think, I didn't know, they were fully supportive. The only people who didn't want me to drop out were my grandparents. I had to, my parents made me tell them, and they were like, but yeah.
Now you're on TikTok. And you have a big record. Now, Charlie D'Amelio dances to it.
Yeah, I mean, but my parents were fully supportive, and I think that was something that I needed, like, at the time. was them to kind of give me the green light, and they did that, which was great.
Yeah, I mean, you've won a ton of awards in New Zealand. Like, you you have quite the accolades, my friend.
Thanks. It's crack up.
It's crazy.
It is quite weird. And nothing is really sunk in properly because I feel like I'm kind of trying not to overthink anything or I'll freak out.
For people that only know you from TikTok, what's another song that you would want them to go listen to?
I like my sad one. So maybe Blue or Monster. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I think Blue's would be my favorite one that I've made. Blue or Monster.
I love Soaked and Glitter.
I like Afterlife.
Oh, thank you. Yay. It's sick.
What were you about to say about Blue, Ricky?
I love Blue. That's my favorite one on the EP, even though it's like sad, but I think that's why I like it, because it's sad and I can be quite emotional at times.
Aww,
so that's my favorite one on the EP. And I also have a question. So you named the EP Stella and Steve, and I read somewhere that Steve is your car.
Yes. Steve is everything. I mean, I name a lot of things Steve, and I have since I was like six. But Steve is one. My car is one of the Steves that I name.
Who is Stella?
Me. That's my real name.
Where did Benny come from?
My name's Stella Bennett. So it's a nickname that I used to get. I felt like Benny, Stella, Benny, Stella, Benny. I feel like Benny, yeah. So, and then.
Are they one person?
Oh, yeah, me and Benny.
Benny, I have a question. Would you be able to date a guy named Steve?
Ooh, you know what? I've actually thought about that. Like, a lot of my friends are like, you're going to marry a Steve. I don't know. Maybe I don't know. It'll be a bonus if I meet someone called Steve and they're amazing, but I don't know.
Now, can you explain your interest in snails?
I literally caught two snails yesterday, and I have them in like a terrarium? A terrarium?
Yeah.
I have pet snails now, which is fun. I don't really know. I tried to beat a world record when I was 9 by having the most amount of snails in my face. I didn't beat it. But
what?
I don't know. There are pictures of it on my vinyl. I have like a poster.
How many did you get on your face though?
Not a lot, maybe like 9. They're actually really, really
not hard. A lot.
Okay, first of all,
no.
One snail on your face is too many snails.
People do like snail face masks. It's like a trend right now, I think.
Yeah. Sorry.
But I don't really know what my I think they're kind of cute, and I feel kind of bad for them because they're kind of helpless and like they can't really, they're slow, and I feel like, you know, I feel bad when I stand on them.
Have you ever eaten escargot?
Is that the snail, the fried?
Yeah, it's where you eat snails.
No, I'm quite weird with textures, and I feel like snails, I don't know about it.
Snails are friends, not food.
Exactly.
So what do you feed your snails?
You can feed them like I've just been looking this up. I mean, I've just fed them a pea from last night. I had peas. There are like some weeds that they don't like, but I mean, I've got the ones that have like little snail bites in them already. So I'm like, okay, they'll obviously like that. And they like cucumber and vegetables. Oh, sorry. That's the manager.
No, you should.
Wait, what are the snails' names?
One is called Fluffy and one is called Steve.
I was going to ask if one was Steve. Everything's Steve.
Yeah.
That's great.
Tiny.
Well,
I have a question. How do you feel about your comment section comparing you to everybody? I mean, everybody's listed in that comment section.
I had an interview the other day about this, like about comparisons, and then the caption was not what I said, and it was like really embarrassing. But I mean, I don't know. I think comparisons, like the comparisons that I get, I look at them and I'm like, crap, like very flattering. That is insane because I'm a fan of all of these people. But I think that. And something that I've talked to a lot of my friends who are in music and kind of starting out and who are new, I think, like, as an artist kind of trying to do their own thing and you're kind of very new to the industry, I think that it can be, like, it can get a little bit, like, a little bit much when you're kind of trying to do your own thing and everyone's like, oh, you're like this person, you're like this person. It's like, damn it, like, what? Like, I thought that I would, you know, I thought that I was kind of, you know, happy doing something a little bit different, and I think, I don't know, it can be a little bit weird sometimes for me.
Comparisons have been happening forever, and they're not fair. They're debilitating. They're simple. They're easy. People do it because they either are too lazy to listen to the full body of work or like, you know what I'm saying? Like if they really listen to your music, it's not Billie Eilish. It's not anybody else who, I don't know who else is in the comparison section, the comment section, but people are dumb.
Yeah. I mean, I completely understand because like, I feel like sometimes I'm guilty of, you know, being listening to someone and being like, oh, it's kind of like this person. But I feel like if someone who commented on that, like, and that was like the only, oh, they look like this person. If that was the only comment they made, if they were the artist, and I feel like if they were getting, which they wouldn't, I mean, they probably won't ever kind of feel that, but I feel like if they were the artist who was getting that kind of stuff, I feel like they maybe wouldn't make the comment because I don't know. I appreciate, you know, I like sometimes I like hate more. I'm like, okay, yeah, this person's being like honest and they really listen to it and they're like, I don't like this. I don't like how her voice sounds. It's like kind of nicer sometimes than like they're exactly like this person or like they're an ugly version of this. Sometimes it's just looks as well, which is really f-ing annoying. But there we go.
Immature, naive, stupid. Ignore it. Keep making music. I appreciate your art. Final thoughts.
Thank you. Yeah, this is why you shouldn't read the comments. And I do.
Me too. To be honest with you, I'm obsessed with comments about myself. It's the wind beneath my wings or the lack of wind beneath my wings.
I know.
Yeah, it's toxic.
It's kind of, it can be quite entertaining sometimes. It's like kind of like a weird, like you shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't, but you're going to rate them because they can kind of be kind of like, they can kind of be funny. And it's like kind of, I don't know.
But by the way, it's entertaining. Like when you forget that they're about you.
I know. I mean, I think the hate ones can sometimes be funny because you kind of like remove yourself from it and you're like, this is actually quite like, this is cracker. Like, you're not talking about me. What the heck?
Yes. The one other question I had is where did the idea for this like acid trip, where the wild things glitter video come
so
from?
Good.
I worked with this guy called Steven Merton.
You're marrying Steve. It's guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of, when I got like all of the, you know, when I got sent all of the people and all of their ideas, it was like, Steven, Steve, I want to see what this guy has to kind of say. And I mean, like, he kind of does all of the drawings and all of the animating himself. And I watched some of his other, the previous videos that he had done. And he's just like, he's so weird and I love him. Like, I love how weird he is. And I kind of just, you know, had a conversation with him and it was like, this is what the song's about. And this is also what happened with the Super Lonely video, which is different to how I usually work, which is kind of very much more kind of hands-on and me kind of, you know, giving them, like, I want to film it here and I want to do this. I feel like with this particular video, it was more a case of me like loving what he had done and loving what he does and kind of being like, this is what I'm about. And this is, you know, kind of the vibe that I'm kind of wanting, but then letting him do like his weird magic. And I feel like that's quite cool with like collaborating with like visuals and, you know, all of the videos and all of that kind of the art and stuff is kind of nice to let them know what you're about, but then kind of give them their own kind of freedom. Totally. I don't know. Yeah. But he's crazy and cool. Yeah.
All right. I had one last question and it was really just, I want to know if you're ever going to do the TikTok dance yourself because somebody else has done it and I don't see any videos of you doing it.
I know. The thing about Benny is I actually can't dance and I feel like it requires too many like moves and I'm too unco. So I feel like I'm going to leave it to the people I did the glitter one when people asked me to, because that also had a TikTok dance, but whoever made the TikTok dance for Super Lonely can actually dance, I feel like.
I don't know. Those dance moves in the Super Lonely video are pretty good.
I feel like I'm going to sit back and maybe not do it. Too difficult.
Yo, Benny, thank you for hanging out. I appreciate you deeply.
Thank you, guys.
This is nice. We should do this in person next time. I would really like that.
Indeed. Heck yeah. Thank you guys so much.
Would you have been in America right now?
Yes. I would have played a gig yesterday. It's really sad.
Oh, that's right. Everything had to be postponed, right? Your whole tour?
It did. And I also had to cancel my Europe tour, which is really sad. But I'll reschedule everything.
2021.
One place that you were really looking forward to that you're like really bummed about?
Oh, I think the whole lot, to be honest. I think this is going to be my big, like the biggest US tour that I have like ever done, like for my shows. But it's all right. I feel like it's going to happen just in a little while. So I'm trying to like just be like, it's okay.
It's positive thoughts.
Everyone's in the same boat, which is kind of weirdly nice. But yeah.
Benny, I appreciate you. Thanks for hanging out.
Thank you very much, guys. Nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you, too. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Zach Sang Show Podcast Network.